The Bhagavad Gita is a book of action. Right from the second chapter onwards, the Lord is giving us the message of right action with the right attitude. That is the main theme of this entire Lord's song. Gita is the song. Of course, there are other very important chapters, chapters on devotion, chapters on the highest knowledge, chapters on who is Lord, how one can know Him, find Him, all those are there. The 18th chapter being the last chapter is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita, and as we have heard earlier, it starts with Arjuna's question. He would like to know the difference between Tyaga and Sannyasa. These are two words that are sometimes used interchangeably and confuse a lot of us. And so the Lord explains, Tyaga is the giving up of the fruit of action, doing actions without expecting any selfish result, doing your best and focusing, working in the present without worrying about the future, without worrying about the results. And then once one can do that, then slowly one can evolve from Tyaga to Sannyasa. And Sannyasa does not mean putting on orange clothes and going to the forest, though that is, of course, the ultimate goal. But for most of us householders, it is giving up the ego. The I am the doer, doership, when that is given up, that is called Sannyasa, and becoming an instrument of the Lord, working without ego or egocentric desires, without I and my, working for the benefit of all, without this sense of selfishness. And then the Lord continues that there are two schools of thought which are given in the Upanishads and in our scriptures. One says that actions should be given up because actions create vasanas. More you act, the more it increases your desire. More you have desire, more it strengthens your vasanas. The more the vasanas are strengthened, the more it creates desire, action. So it's like a vicious cycle. So give up actions, go to the forest, meditate, stay in the Himalayas and become one with the Lord. And that is good if you have that kind of vairagya, if you have that kind of detachment. Buddha could do that, Shankaracharya could do it, Raman Maharishi could do it. But for most of us, it's not practical. So then Sri Krishna says, for the majority of us, yajna, dana and tapa, those three I've written above. Yajna means service, where I serve the maximum people for maximum time. Yajna in the olden days used to mean offering in the fire, but here the word yajna, as also in the fourth chapter, Sri Krishna has explained very beautifully, yajna is dedicating activities to society, working for the benefit of many, benefit of all. As our Chinmaya Mission motto also says, to give maximum happiness to maximum people for maximum time, that is the goal of this Chinmaya Mission. So that is yajna. And dana is charity, charity done to a deserving person at a deserving time, a deserving amount, with discretion and discrimination. And there in the yajna, you help everybody. In charity or in dana, you may help a selective person or a selective group. And then the tapa is used to be penance, sitting in the forest. But here tapa is translated by Gurudev as self-improvement, where I sacrifice my lower urges and I do some amount of self-control, some fasting, some yoga, some meditation, giving up certain bad habits, you know, physical and mental tendencies, so that for not to punish the body, not to punish myself, but to improve. So that is what we had studied last time. Now the Lord is going to continue to talk more about yajna, dana and tapa. So we'll do verse number 5. In chapter 18, yajna, dana, tapa, karma.
Yajna, dana, tapa, karma.
Na tyajyam karyam eva tat. Yajnyo danam tapaschaiva.
Yajnyo danam tapaschaiva.
Pavanani manishinam.
Pavanani manishinam.
So yajna, that is service. Dana is charity and tapa is self-control, self-improvement, na tyajyam, they should not be given up. Not only that, karya meva tata, they must be done. They should be done. It's not only you should not give up, but you should positively do it. So the Lord is saying, don't give up, but make an effort to positively do that. Why should I do it? So Sri Krishna says, yajna, dana and tapa, these three, eva, what do? Pavanani manishinam. They are purifiers. Purifiers of who? Manishina. Manishinam are the contemplative, mananashil individual, those who are wise, those who are contemplative, those who are on the spiritual path. If we want to improve, then these three, we have to do it. They should not be given up. We had talked a little bit about it last week, but we'll go more into detail about why they should be done. So as we said, it is absolutely essential, because we are all householders, we are all people who are working in the world, and we all have jobs either at home or at work or in the office or in the factory, or we are studying or whatever, or some of us may be retired, but we are still active, we are still working, we are doing things. So activities should be done with the idea of sacrifice. I should sacrifice myself for others. You say, why should I sacrifice? Why should I give something to somebody? Because as we have said before, we have got so much from society, especially in this country. We are so blessed. We get so much, as you know, as compared to Africa or Asia or India, where people don't even have clean water. The air is polluted. The water is polluted. The food is contaminated. The medicines, you don't get pure. So here we are so blessed. Society is so kind to us that it is required to give back. It is not an option. It is not a choice. It is not a should I or should I not. It should be done. It must be done. It has to be done. So that is the message of the Lord. In fact, how should I do it? What should be the yajna? What should be the giving? What should be the charity? So one way is, suppose I have $100. Okay, so I say, okay, I'm going to give $100 to a deserving person. That's good. Or I say, no, I'm not going to give all to one. I'm going to give $10 each to 10 people. Okay, somebody says, no, I want to help 100 people. So I give $1 each to 100 people. Now that is good, you know, if it's a deserving person. But how long will that last? Whether it's $1 or $10 or $100, sooner or later it will be spent. Maybe in a day, maybe in a week, maybe whatever. That won't last. But what Gurudev said, Swami Chinmayananda, he said, I'm going to give people knowledge. That's why his talks were called Gita Gyan Yajna. Those of you who grew up in India, especially lived in Bombay, had the good fortune. I was blessed that I was able to attend quite a few of Swami Chinmayananda's lectures. In fact, he used to do every evening for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. He would do one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and I was fortunate to listen to quite a few of the chapters. My mother even took me to the ashram, where Swami Chinmayananda's ashram, and met him. And so he called them Jnana Yajna. Jnana Yajna, because he said that when you give knowledge to somebody, the money will finish, but knowledge will last. Once you give a person the right attitude, how to function in the world, he or she will then function with that attitude, and that will change that person's life. That's why study of the Gita and listening from a master like him, and when I also prepare, I do prepare from Gurudev's commentaries. So that helps us to turn our direction. What is the attitude with which I should work? And why did he call it yajna? Because yajna, as we know, is offering in the fire. You know, the traditional yajna where there is a panditji and he lights a fire and he offers swaha, you know. So here Gurudev says, in the fire of knowledge, I am sacrificing my ignorance. I'm sacrificing my wrong tendencies, my wrong thinking, my wrong beliefs, the wrong way of working is being sacrificed in the fire of knowledge. That's why his yajnas were called Gita Gyan Yajna. And I remember thousands of people used to attend, 20,000, 30,000 in Shivaji Park or Chopati, you know, in Maidan, and so many people. And they were so wonderfully organized, and his voice was so powerful. It just touched you, the inner. So So giving of knowledge is very important, and that's why we should also, if we want to change, why do we act wrongly? Because we all have this wrong idea of what is right, what is wrong, what is, who am I really? You know, we all have this wrong notion. And so when you correct your knowledge, when you correct your understanding, then only your actions can improve. So that is called yagna. Yagna is sacrificing for the benefit of others. Then we come to charity, dana. And as we know, charity, of course, one of them is to give money, but another one is to share your time. You have time, you have love, go and share it with somebody who is hurting. Somebody is in the hospital or in a nursing home, or somebody at home is sick. Go spend time with them. Spend time with your family, with your children and, you know, grandchildren. Take out time to do that. Because that is very valuable. Time, we all have a very limited amount of time we are born with. And how do I utilize my time? Am I going to utilize in just wasting it, just watching some TV shows or watching the news or surfing the net or just sleeping? Or am I going to utilize my time for self-improvement and for benefiting others? So everybody is born with 24 hours, but how do we use it? Even these great Mahatmas, Swami Chinmayananda and Shankaracharya and Jesus and Buddha and Guru Nanak, and how did they utilize their time in the service of others? And that is what we have to decide. What am I going to do with my time? There's a very beautiful story. So there was this man who was very rich, very successful, worked very hard morning to night, was a workaholic and made a lot of money, you know, very rich. Never had time for his, you know, wife and children and all that. So one day his son, in the evening, he comes home and he says, "Dad, how much do you make per day?" So Dad said, "Why do you want to know? Get out, go to your room and play. What kind of question is that? You don't need to know." So the child became, you know, tearful and went to his room, and he was just playing with his drugs, you know, sitting and pushing them here and there. And then the man felt bad, you know. My child, you know, he came to talk to me and I shouted at him. So he goes there and he says, "Are you upset?" He doesn't answer. He just keeps on playing. So he says, "Are you angry with me?" He doesn't say anything. So he said, "Okay, you want to?" He said, "No. What do you want?" He says, "Dad, I'm asking you how much you make per day." Now, this person was, you know, used to make several thousand dollars a day. You know, he made half a million dollars a year. So probably made $3,000-$4,000 a day. But just to please him, he says, "I make $100 a day." You know, this little kid, for him, $100 is a lot. "Oh, so, and you work 10 hours, so you make $10 an hour?" So he said, "Yeah, I make $10 an hour." So he goes and behind his, from his drawer, he pulls out some crumpled notes and some coins, and he puts them there. And he says, "Dad, here is $10. Will you spend 1 hour with me today?" You know, he had saved his pocket money in his piggy bank, and he said, "I want you to spend 1 hour because I just want you." And tears came to this man's eyes. He said, "Look, you know, why am I working so hard? For who? Am I working so that my son even has to pay me to spend time with him?" He started crying, weeping there, and it changed his attitude. So that's what it is. The time is very valuable. Use it for the right thing. Work is important, but it should not be at the expense of our family, our relationships, our love. So giving of love is very, very important. Share your love with others. People, you start with the home. Start with families. Share love with your spouse, your child, your, you know, older parents who have done so much for us. You know, give back to them. You know, take care of them in their old age. At least call them, you know, if they live in India, call them, you know, once or twice a week, go visit them. That's all they want. They don't need anything. They just want our time. So sharing and giving is very, very important. And that is called true sacrifice, is share your time with others, share your love with others. And then also we said self-improvement. Do something every day for self-improvement, some reading, some studying, some yoga, some meditation, some little prayers, puja. And I have told that repeatedly to my people. 1 hour before you sleep, you should turn off all electronic devices. That is poison. Whether it's iPhone, iPad, I this, I that, anything that starts with I should be shut off 1 hour before you sleep. because we are on Facebook uselessly. You know, why do I want to know why so-and-so is doing it? Important things you do for your work and, you know, keep in touch with your emails and all. But this electronic images, they actually stimulate the neurons in your brain. And people have sleeping difficulties. People who spend too much time with this iPhone. And also another thing, watching TV. So 1 hour before you sleep, there should be no electronic stimulation, because people have sleep difficulties because of that. And that last 1 hour you should spend for self-improvement. Pick up a book, paper book, not Kindle, not iPad. Pick up a paper book, because again, these electronic images going into your brain, they affect your neurons. They have done a lot of research on that. And now people are spending whole day in front of the computer, and shut it off for the 1 hour before I sleep. I will not see. So read some paper books. We have so many beautiful books in our library. Just you can get them. So reasonable, $6, $8 for Upanishad. My God, this is, knowledge is worth $1 million, and people have troubles. It just boggles my mind that so much beautiful literature we have from our rishis, and, you know, people have, you know, don't want to read. You must read. You must read. And whatever language you have, you want to read, it's fine. And second thing, spend some time in listening to some soft music, some bhajan, some chanting of Om or Gayatri Mantra or something soft. So your mind is relaxed, and especially it should be related to the Lord, you know, something spiritual, just the chanting of the name of, either you can chant yourself. If you know some mantras, chant them, or you can buy CDs, you can download from the internet. So do that. And that is called self-improvement. That is called tapa, where I do something for my, then of course other things like diet and exercise, all those should be done. But for my spiritual growth, what am I doing? See, we spend a lot of time taking care of the body, what I should eat, what I should exercise, but we neglect our mind and intellect. What is the thing I put in my mind? What is the thing I put in my intellect? Is it, am I poisoning my mind? So that is called tapa. But people say, what society? What is this world? You don't, the Upanishad say everything is Brahman? You know, Upanishad says, everything is Brahman, you are Brahman, he is Brahman, everything is Brahman, everything is one. So what society, whom should I serve? Everything is me. So, and I always knew I was great. And Upanishad tells me, you are Brahman. So I knew, I always knew that. But now rishis also have said, I am great, I am God, I am Brahman. So why should I work? Why should I serve? I am already, see, knowing. And then he says, you know, in the final experience, the Upanishad says, the world disappears and that alone remains and you become merged with that. So the world does not exist. They say the world is a mithya. So why should I even bother? So what we say is that true, the final experience is that when a rishi goes into deep meditation, sitting there and his mind and intellect is totally merged with that consciousness, Brahman within and without, then he sees that alone exists. Everything is nothing but that. And the whole universe disappears in that experience. So that is the highest experience. You and I are not there yet. It's like you are in the high school and you are saying, I'm going to from tomorrow read PhD physics textbooks. You cannot. You have to go from high school to go to undergrad, then go to grad school, master's, then do PhD. Then you can talk at that level, suddenly at a high school level. So you and I are still at the level of work. And just by saying, I am Brahman, you don't become Brahman. It's like Raja Aham Iti. You know, you might say, I am the king of this country. You are not the king. You can say that. Or you can say, I am president of the United States. You cannot say that, because that is not, you have not got there yet. To become president, how many, now see how much campaigning is going on and the delegates and the primaries and how much, then the general election, how much work you have to put in. And even to be nominated or selected, you have to have done so much service before to be. So just by saying I am Brahman, you don't become Brahman. You have to work in that direction. So through these three, yajna, dana and tapa, your mind is purified, your vasanas are reduced, and then you experience within the silence of your meditation, you experience that. So knowledge alone is not enough. Just knowing I am Brahman is not enough. Gurudev in his commentary gives a very beautiful example. He says, like, suppose you are, your grandfather had passed a long time ago and your father also passed away, and your grandfather had only one child, your father, and father had only one child, you. So you are inheriting the father's and grandfather's property. So you are going through the old papers and trying to get rid of, you know, old things. And suddenly you find in your grandfather's, one of his notebook, you find a piece of paper, and that describes that he had a big treasure he had accumulated out of gold and all that. And he has described that in that same ancestral property, in front of the house, he had dug a hole, and he has exactly marked the spot where he had dug the hole, and he had put a lot of gold and ornaments and diamond and jewelry. Now, how he got the money and why did he put it? Maybe a lot of people in those days didn't trust banks, you know. So they used to keep the money in gold or in ornaments, diamond and all. So they would keep it in the house. And so he had dug it and put it in. And he has described in great detail. So now you have heard that your grandfather had so much. So you, that is now yours. But have you become rich yet? No, you are still not rich, because that money is still, it has not become yours. So you have to work. So what do you do? And also you can't tell anybody else, because if you tell and the government comes to know, two-thirds they will come and take in taxes. So the first thing, you don't want anybody to know, or your neighbors, or everybody will start, you know, becoming your friends, or they may want to steal it. So you have to do it secretly. So in the middle of the night, you start digging, you know, you dig a little bit, exact spot marked, and then in the morning you cover it up with the grass and all, so nobody sees. And so after a few days of digging, then you hear a sound, thum, and you find this metal, you know, safe-like container. And then again you come back, and then next night you go and slowly, carefully, you lift that and you bring it in the house. And again you cover up the hole, so your neighbors, you know, those nosy neighbors, you know, they want to know what you're doing, so they should. You still have not got the money, you just have the case. Then you open it, now you have gold and you have ornaments. So what do? You take them one at a time. You cannot announce, you know, suddenly I have $1 million of ornaments. So you go one, you sell it to some jeweler, another one to some pawn shop. You go all the jewelers in town, one by one selling. And you say, even that is becoming suspicious. So you take a bag and say, you know, I'm going to go for business to a foreign, you know, different place. So you go to the next city and there you sell all of them and you collect all the money. And after a few months, you come back and say, you know, business was so good. I have so much money. So the money didn't come to you right away. You had to put effort. Even though you knew you were rich, to become rich, you have put effort. So I know that I am Brahman. I am that reality. I am that truth. But between me, this ego, perceiver, feeler, thinker, and the Lord, there is this layer of vasanas. That's the layer of mud that is hiding that treasure. So just as the person silently and quietly goes deep and digs, so we also, in the silence, early morning, in our meditation, at the time of, and you don't have to announce to everybody. You don't have to say, you know, from tomorrow, don't call me between 4 and 5 o'clock, because I'll be meditating. You don't have to, and people, and somebody else, if you tell him, he'll say, okay, let me call him at 4 o'clock. Oh, you wake up. I said, oh, I called to see if you are meditating or you're sleeping. You're fast asleep. So you don't have to announce. In the silence of your meditation, just in the quiet of the time, just go quiet and go deep within. Because the deep within is the treasure. That's what we teach in our meditation. That's what the Mahatmas teach us. That in the quietude of your mind, when the time is quiet, when there is nobody disturbing, even the birds are not up, early morning, it doesn't have to be 4 to 5, it can be 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, but the first activity in the morning should be to sit for meditation as soon as you wake up. And then there are techniques how you quieten the mind, and with that quiet mind, you dive deep within. Raman Maharishi used to also describe this technique, where he says that people who dive for pearls, in his Saddarshanam, he describes very beautifully, like a pearl diver. What does he do? He holds his breath, and it's very, and he keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't speak, because if he's talking, then the water will go in. So his mouth is shut, his breathing is stopped, and he dives deep within, and then only he can get the pearl. So similarly, in the silence, our mouth has to be shut. Our, not only the speech has to be silent, but the mind has to be silent, and our breathing has to be controlled. They always recommend, you know, breathing to quieten the mind. And in that quiet mind, when your breath is controlled and when your speech is controlled, not only speech, but the mind is quiet, in that you dive deep within yourself. And that's where you discover the Lord within, and that's how you purify your mind. That's how you reduce the vasanas. So by service, charity, self-improvement, and by meditation, the vasanas are reduced, the selfishness. And in that quiet mind and intellect, when the quiet mind and intellect is silenced, then and then alone you can contemplate on the Lord's nature. Who am I? Who is this Lord? Where does he reside? And in that silence, you experience the Lord's presence within. That's why they say in prayer, you talk to God. In meditation, God talks to you. When your mind is still, then you hear the inner voice. That's when you experience peace and silence. And such a person, once he or she has experienced that silence, then every activity becomes a surrender. Because then such a person, that's why if you look at all these great saints and Mahatmas and prophets, you know, look at whether it's Tukaram or Gyaneshwar or Saint Francis or Buddha or anybody, their activities were then totally unselfish, totally dedicated and surrendered. The I and my then goes away, then he alone is there. That's why, you know, Kabir Das Ji says, Prem ki gali ati sankri, ya main hu to hari nahi, hari hai to main nahi. He says the path of love is very narrow. Either you are there or God is there. Both of you cannot exist, cannot stay together. So if as long as I am doing it, I am, then the Lord disappears. It's when he is working, he or she, whoever, the quiet. So such an activity of such a person who is done with the dedication to the Lord, giving up the I and my, surrendering, and even the idea that I am a doer goes away. Because such a person, when he is identified with the self, then he says the body, mind and intellect are working according to their tendencies and they will continue to work, but I am not affected. And such a person then becomes a saint, becomes a prophet, becomes a realized master, and his life becomes a life of service, a life of giving, a life of sharing. Not only that, but then he goes beyond all the sorrows. Joys and sorrows do not affect him. And Gita again and again he says, Sama shatrau cha mitre cha tatha man apamana yogo shitoshna sukha dukheshu sama sangha vivarjitaha. In the 12th chapter, Krishna says, who is my devotee? Devotee does not mean who goes to the temple and lights a candle or lights a fire and, you know, 7 days a week. No, that's not true. That is good. But true devotion is a person who is dedicating his life to service and then remains balanced. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha. There might be enemies, there might be friends. Man apaman, you know, praise and dishonor. Shitoshna, heat and cold, joy and sorrow. Problems come, but the person is firmly established in the truth. And look at the life of the saints. How much suffering they have. Look at Gyaneshwar, look at Tukaram, look at Jesus. Look at how many problems they went through. But because they were established in the truth, the world could not touch them. They remained unaffected and they had no bitterness towards anybody, but they had total love and surrender because they saw my Krishna in everybody, my Jesus, my Father in heaven. Everybody is that manifestation. Everybody is the Mother Goddess. That's what Ramakrishna Paramhans, he saw Mother Kali in everybody. All the ladies who came, even prostitute came, he said, this is Mother Kali. He prostrated to her and touched her feet. So that kind of an attitude these saints get because their every activity is surrendered to the Lord. So that is this beautiful verse where he says these activities should be done because they purify the mind. And what is a pure mind? A pure mind is a mind that is undisturbed and has no dirt in it. Just as there is a bucket of water, and you know, suppose you dropped accidentally a ring, or your necklace fell in there, or you are doing something and a ring fell. Now the water, suppose, is very dirty and it's shaking, agitated. You're not going to be able to find your ring. So you wait for the water to stop moving and wait for the dirt to settle down, and then you can reach and find your diamond ring. So similarly, a mind that is very agitated or full of dirt, and what is the dirt? We have said before, anger, greed, jealousy, kam, krodh, lobh, mad, moh, matsarya. So those negativities, when they are removed and the mind is still, then you can discover the treasure within. So that's why doing these three purify the mind. Pavanani manishinam. They purify our mind, so we should do them. But do them with the right attitude, not with I and my, but doing it with dedicated to the Lord. Next verse, Sri Krishna will tell us how these activities should be done, with what attitude. Yajna, Dan and Tapa, with what attitude they should be done, we'll talk in more detail. Any questions or comments on this verse?
Every time you do something good, right away, I feel like somebody is rewarding me. Like, I don't want that. How do I accept it? How do we...
No, that's a very good point. We don't look for a reward. You don't do it. You're doing it out of, because it is the right thing to do. But if you get a reward, see His grace. Be thankful to Him. And it has happened repeatedly, you know, in all our lives, those, you know, who are on this path. When you do something good, the reward comes instantly. You know, not only the inner peace, but even outwardly, things just fall into place. And of course, we are at a very low level, but when you see Mahatmas, how they function, everything happens. Whatever they wish for comes. Because why? Because that ever merciful Lord is sitting up there, and He's sitting up there, He's sitting in our hearts, and constantly His grace and blessings. That's why in our prayer we say, may Thy grace and blessings flow through us to the world around us. So His grace and blessings are always with us. What is happening is you are becoming aware of that. Until now, we were not. And that, just take it as His grace and be thankful. Oh Lord, thank You so much. And then double your efforts. Again, not to get double the benefit, but just it gives you an inner sense of happiness and contentment and peace. And the more we give, the more we will receive. That's why it says, you know, it is in giving that we receive, in the prayer of Saint Francis. When the more you give, the more He will give you. There's nothing wrong. You don't do it for the fruit, but if it comes, you accept it with humility and gratitude. And I think the attitude of gratitude is very important. There is one person who used to come to our meditation class. He moved away to the coast. Very, very, very nice person. Does a lot of charity. He is a president and member of so many charitable trusts. You know, he was a very successful businessman. He retired. George Johnson is his name. And now he used to come here to meditation, but now he has moved to the coast. And he, every morning, he, for 5 minutes before he starts meditation, he has an attitude of gratitude. Where what he will sit and start telling, 5 minutes is a long time to think about. You think it's a short, but what am I thankful for? So first, of course, he will thank, you know, Lord for His, you know, health and His, you know, this human birth and the intellect and, you know, the money, because he's very rich and all the, you know, things and air and the nice house he has. We have visited him in a beautiful house he has on the coast and right in the mountain. So, but after that, then that happens, finish in 30 seconds. Then what else should I be thankful for? So he thinks of little things, how somebody was nice to me, or somebody helped me, and he says that the more you develop this attitude of gratitude, your mind becomes so uplifted, because you are so thankful. And he does that every religiously for 5 minutes, and he says it's surprising how much your mind will become uplifted. So develop this attitude of gratitude every morning or every evening before you go to bed at night. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have given us. And even if there has been some sorrowful thing, take it as a learning opportunity. Thank You, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to improve. So gratitude is very important. So I think that's how I would do that.
I think if people write it down in a journal,
yes,
that also kind of focuses more
right.
clearly.
Absolutely, yeah. Whatever you want to express, yeah, writing is a good way. Do you do that?
You know, I try. I really do try. Not 5 minutes, you are right. 5 minutes yeah. is a long time.
Right, right. But that's good. Yeah. Yeah, if you can't do 5 minutes, even just a few minutes, you know, half minute or two. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramaya Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Makaschit Dukkha Bhavave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.